We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Expect Casey to try to put a little something extra on the slider here.
Sun comes out from behind a cloud, and suddenly we have sunshine covering the infield. A 1-2 pitch to the plate. Swing and a miss! He struck him out! He struck him out! He struck him out! Aggies are going to the College World Series!
Well, howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Monday, April 8th, and it's also Eclipse Day for those who are celebrating.
And it's also cloudy and severe weather day. So,
well, yeah, severe weather both today and tomorrow. The tomorrow round is a little bit more relevant to us, but yeah, it's going to be overcast and rainy next several days. So just be really ready for that. I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 14.
I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015. And in lieu of the incoming rain, I totally did not get around to getting the seed down on my yard. So that's just great.
Yeah. Conveniently, I started running my sprinklers again this week because it had finally gotten to a point where I was like, okay, I can start running those. And then the forecast started kicking in. And I'm like, okay, three straight days of probably a significant amount of rain. So it will be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Well, oddly enough, we were right last week.
Yeah, we had ourselves a good little run on both predictions.
Shocking.
Yeah.
they really kind of did what we were hoping they would do.
Yeah.
You know, softball went out and went home early on their midweek game against Prairie View.
Yep.
Even though Kentucky's near the bottom of the league in softball, again, it's a conference series, so they come in. The girls only have two home losses on the year.
Right.
So, like, they're playing really well at Davis. They're third in the SEC. I was looking through the standings, and obviously we're jumping straight into softball. I was looking through the standings, and the only other two teams that have played as many conference games as we have is Mississippi State and Ole Miss.
Hmm.
Like, everybody else has less games, and I'm kind of guessing maybe Florida is the same thing as their baseball team had to cancel some stuff, but that was early in the season. So I'm not really sure. And I know that, because there's an odd number, there are bye weeks, but like we played 15 games and the closest from that is 12. There's some teams that have played less than that is what it seems like. So, but softball goes out, goes 3-1 on the week, takes care of business in their midweek game against Prairie View, and they did it in fashion. I mean, they went out and absolutely destroyed them. Emily Levitt had a good start in the circle. It was good to see her get out there. And we saw her over the weekend as well come out and provide some real quality innings out of the bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
3-1 week. 3-1 week where that loss is SEC. That means you're winning series.
And that's almost your average optimal weekend. You take care of your midweek game and you go 2-3 on the weekend, and that'll get you where you need to go across the board.
You're hosting.
Yeah, you'll definitely host if you do that every weekend. So definitely.
Well, and I think the crowds at Davis have been so great.
And, yes.
And, it helps when you're winning, but, the crowds have been so great. So we're actually getting to kind of showcase how nice Davis is.
Oh, yeah. No, it looks great. I mean, I love the fact that the fans were out in force this weekend. You saw Spirit of O2 make an appearance, which is always cool.
That was so great.
I love that.
That was so great. that was a lot of fun. It was hilarious to hear the announcers try and figure out what was going on for a little while. but softball team looked really good. They dropped a kind of a heartbreaker on Sunday. But just a kind of a slug it out game, to be honest. It's nothing basically near the end of the game. So that was a tough one. I didn't get a chance to watch too much of it though. I had to do an open house, but over in Indian Lakes. But again, the results are what matters.
Right.
There's to an extent, I'm sure that there's some style points out there, but when you're in conference, there's style points. The style points are winning games. That's how you get style points in conference.
Especially in SEC softball. It's just one of those deals where when you come into that, you know what you're getting yourself into. That is one of the top conferences. Yes, obviously Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, they had themselves an incredible series this weekend. They're the number one and number two teams in the country for good reason. They're great. They're great softball teams. Yep. But the SEC as a league has maintained a level of dominance over the last, couple decades, really, it feels like. And even on top of that, we're starting to see that, you know, we will have the flip-flop when Oklahoma and Texas come here. It's going to be just completely unfair.
Right. Well, Texas and OU are two of probably the biggest programs outside of the SEC in the nation. They're the ones that generally are always in contention, you know, always, you know, they make it to Oklahoma City pretty often, either one or both of them. And so adding them to the SEC is just going to turn into more of a grinder than it is, but it's also going to take away from another conference.
Right.
So the dominance in softball is going to be gross, you know, once we get Texas and OU here. And I don't think that them getting into SEC play will affect them as much as other sports, because they've shown that they can beat SEC teams.
Right.
So it's, and I get, like, you talk about the grind, but, you know, when you're OU in Texas, literally every weekend you got a target on your back, because, you know, being able to beat those teams in a series would be huge for you, period. So while I know we always joke about the Sips always think that they're everybody's Super Bowl in softball, you know, if you get a chance to play them non-conference, it makes a big statement if you can beat them, because they're just two, you know, historically good programs, and OU's have been on such a run lately. Texas has always been a good, you know, always had a good softball program. So it's just going to make the SEC that much more fun, that much more competitive.
No question. I mean, if you look back on peak era, like Nick Saban, Alabama football, people always, you know, go out there and talk about, oh, well, they always act like they got a target on the back. They always do. Here's the deal. When you are on the top of the mountain, everybody will give you your absolute best shot. That's just exactly how it is. It's a mindset shifter. Everybody wants to be that underdog that gets to come out and say, we knocked Goliath out. Mm-hmm. We did those things. Everybody likes to do that. I mean, A&M back in 21 when we beat Alabama at home. That was a big moment, and I don't begrudge the fans for rushing the field at all. You beat number one at home, and I don't care who the number one is. When you beat number one, that's the way to do it. And if you look at Oklahoma and Texas, they've been dominant programs in softball last several years.
Yeah.
So absolutely, everybody's giving them their best shot.
Yeah, they're both such good programs, and so it's you know, and Texas and Oklahoma softball deserve to kind of feel that way. Now maybe that sentiment is misguided in other sports, but
sure.
But yeah, I mean, Oklahoma and Texas are just going to be phenomenal additions to softball. I do want to highlight Kramer Achete, who had herself a week.
Oh yeah,
I went through and picked one from each. I think they were kind of easy if you watched the games. I didn't have to pour through stats. I knew, you know, who was good, but on the week, so including the midweeks, went 4 for 10. She had 3 runs and 7 ribbies. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's not a bad week. So, you know, shout out to Kramer Achete. Had a great week as a whole, you know, both the conference series and Prairie View. You know, next up is at Bama, number 15. And we were talking about it. It's weird because it's a Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You don't see those a ton, but all three are televised. So you're going to get ESPN2 for the first two and SEC Network for the Monday game. And so hopefully, you know, if you haven't been able to watch it, this should be a lot of fun. Bama's number 15, so they're not quite the number one type juggernaut that we've been used to seeing over the last few years.
But it could absolutely be a program kind of booster for us, especially being on national television. I mean, that's one of those things where, yes, of course, we live in an era where everybody has access. But when it comes to like ESPN Plus and stuff like that, the only people that are really going to, you know, watch those games are either people who find that game absolutely relevant to them and their program, or two, it's, I have nothing else better to watch. Oh, hey, so-and-so's on. Let's check it out. Right.
My college is playing a sport kind of thing.
Right. But yeah, you know,
this is a top 15 matchup.
Yeah. It's a top 15 matchup, and it'll be on ESPN2 and on SEC Network. So at that point, you know, you're going full in. You know, you're going to go be playing in front of all of these different people on national television. So go out there and show what you can do.
Well, Bama's a great environment, and kind of what I love a little bit. And again, you know, the scheduling's done so far in advance, you know, it's not like, but the big thing is there's no midweek game for softballs, and they don't start till Saturday. So there's a little bit of extra rest, everybody kind of get right type week. You know, hopefully it's built into their training to give them that little bit of extra rest, both physically and, you know, mentally to another extent, because so much of it, there was an interview with Emily Kennedy, and, you know, so much of the game is mental, just like every sport, but especially being in the circle, you know, it's you against the world when you're a pitcher. And so, you know, getting a little bit of extra time before you got to go on the road for a big series. It's not a season defining series. There's no such thing as that in the SEC because everybody's pretty good.
Yeah.
But you would absolutely love to see them get out on Saturday and get the win and then let the series fall as it may. But then you have two shots at winning the series, right?
Yep.
And if the rankings are to be believed, this should be a fantastic series. Like, it's really going to be good TV.
No doubt.
So I'm looking forward to it. You know, and it's happened over Masters weekend and every, you know, it's
there's a lot going on this weekend.
We have a client appreciation event on Friday and so it's so it should be a great series. So, I mean, if you have the time to tune in, I would highly advise you tune in. It should be a ton of fun. And if you go to Bama and win the series, you know, you can really just leave the taste of that LSU series, you know, kind of, you know, you can get that taste out of your mouth.
No doubt.
Because, and I know that we're a few series removed from the LSU sweep, but you know, you'd like to see them go on the road against, you know, absolutely legit program and go get a series win. I'll go out on a limb and say they get it.
Sure. I mean, I like the way they're playing right now. I mean, I like the resolve we saw, especially coming from behind on some of the games. And, you know, they've proven, obviously, they can score runs in bunches if you give them a chance. So I like what we see with this team.
Well, and they like to jump out early, you know, the mentality. When they've lost or when they've won series but not swept, it's the Sunday game. You know, it's always the rubber match that they lose. Well, it's not really the rubber match when when you've won the series, but
right. The
Sunday game. So the ability to jump out early with all the extra rest that they'll have. I don't know if Bama's got a midweek game or not, but I love the opportunity that they have this weekend. And again, like you said, that opportunity just isn't for, you know, a series win in conference. It's opportunity to, on a national stage for three games, really be highlighted.
Yeah, and it would be an incredible opportunity, obviously, if this was flip-flopped and somehow the series was in College Station and you got all three of these games televised, just to not only show off Davis, show off the environment, show off everything else, and really – use that as almost an easy recruiting tool to be like, hey, this is a good place to come play some ball. But at the same time, you go on the road and beat Alabama, that's definitely going to shift some eyeballs back towards College Station and be like, what are they building over there?
Yeah, I mean, there's an opportunity on both ends. I mean, you'd love for it to be at home. You know, the bigger the matchup, the more you want it at home. But, you know, there's an opportunity to make a real statement going to Tuscaloosa. So, and as quickly as Trisha Ford has gotten this kind of turned around, I think there's got to be a lot of excitement with kind of the momentum. And it's not just, you know, we're playing better than last year. Like, we're playing really good softball.
Yeah.
You know, there's some times, and softball and baseball are the same. There's some times, there's some head scratching moments, but that's just how the game goes. So big time opportunity this weekend for softball. I'll go ahead and call it. They win the series just because I'm a homer.
Fair enough.
So yeah, it's too easy. For me to guess, but I really do like them to at least go in and win the first game and kind of make a statement and kind of change the narrative of how the LSU series went in. And LSU series was so brutal because you were up in the games and just couldn't hold on. Right. I'd like to see him get up and stay up and win that first game. That'll change the whole mentality on the weekend. So look for a big, big night from Emily Kennedy. You know, whether it's Kramer or Trinity or, you know, Allie or whoever is going to step up at the plate, you know, just produce enough runs early in the game for everybody to settle in. But I like us to take Saturday and I like us to take the series.
Yeah, I'm about it. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how the ladies perform this week before they roll forward. So excited for them on that. Very excited. on the other diamond, one thing that is pretty exciting, another big matchup coming this weekend, with Vanderbilt, but we're definitely going to touch on that here in a second. A&M takes care of business on the road at South Carolina.
Yeah,
and Texas State. I mean,
yeah, they got 3-1 on the week and they didn't play at home.
Yeah. I mean, you can go on the road for four games, a four game week, and walk away with three wins. That's an absolute win for me, especially with a road series. And, you know, you go on the road to South Carolina, who is traditionally a very good program. Obviously, we saw by the attendance numbers. And I know with the attendance numbers, people were going back and forth on that. I saw a lot of back and forth on Twitter. But you also have to consider what was going on, especially Sunday, kind of national championship for women's. you know.
Well, and I think it just goes to show you that when South Carolina baseball is ranked 22nd, that's a disappointment to their fans. So that tells you the kind of program that they are, quite frankly, because when we played them, they were still number 22 in the nation.
Yeah, and a great team, and we played them very well over the course of all three games. Obviously, we struggled a bit in game three, of course, but once again, in that game and potentially going for the sweep late, so happy to see that for sure.
Had the opportunity to sweep. It was there, just couldn't make it happen. But you know, again, you love what you see from Ryan Prager first game. I thought they battled really well this weekend. Actually, I thought there was, and it was kind of both ways. Like there was nothing really truly one sided about it. But I thought the umps really kind of sucked this weekend.
They did. They had a lot of really iffy calls left and right,
especially Sunday.
Yeah,
I thought the strike zone on Sunday was really crappy for both teams.
It was, and that became quite apparent because there would be times where I'd watch and be like, man, that was a horrible call. Okay, that was kind of a makeup call for us. You know, I could acknowledge that was going on. It was just not great. It wasn't a great called game.
I don't know if I'm asking too much of an umpire, but maybe don't make calls that require makeup calls.
Yeah, novel thought. You know, just do what you're supposed to do.
Just call the game properly the first time.
Yeah,
because then if you make a terrible call on a strike and then you make a terrible call on a ball or vice versa, like then you just made two terrible calls. Mm-hmm. Like that's all that really is. I mean, mm-hmm. you say, oh well, that's a makeup call. I think that's a cop out for the umpire. It's not a makeup call. It's two poor calls. Could he realize how bad the first one was? So he's going to intentionally make another bad one.
In simpler words, two wrongs don't make a right.
Seriously, man, but three lefts do.
Yeah. Just get it right. But
yeah, this is like, it doesn't matter what sport we're talking about. In the SEC, we're talking about officiating.
Right. And that is just one aspect of this league that I pray we get it looked at some point. It's not as egregious as like the situation you see with the MLB, with the umpire situation, with unions and the whole shebang. But at the same time, it's still not great. And you'd like to see the guys do a little better with that.
Well, look across that league at what happened with Georgia and Mississippi State and Georgia, right?
Oh, my God. That whole situation, if you didn't look into that, talk about way blown out of proportion for what it was.
That was just an absolute highlight of the ineptitude of SEC officiating across the board. If you didn't see it, there's a relay to the plate. The Mississippi State catcher catches it. He tags the Georgia guy, and then he kind of gets in his face while he's still on the ground and shoves him a little bit. And he was chirping. I mean, he was. Sure. Like, he kind of put his knee into him, shoved him down. Like, he was full-blown talking crap. Like, that's 15 yards in football, kind of standing over and taunting. Yeah. And he took it a little further because he kind of shoved him as well. 40-plus minute delay to sort it all out. People coming in from the bullpen – or not bullpens, with the dugouts and and it's a whole mess. 11 players get ejected, and I can't remember the policy. I think it's one or two game suspension for getting ejected. And so now you've changed the course of both of these teams' series for the next weekend, which is so stupid. You had players playing in the outfield because they'd run out of players, and all you had to do was eject the catcher and maybe the guy from Georgia that came off the bench. Should have been two ejections, should have taken 5 minutes.
So I think when they came back in and they reanalyzed the whole situation, I think they cut down the actual number of ejections to 5, and they left it at one game. So they only applied it for that first game, which is good. But
it's a conference game, right? It's not like they could miss their – yeah, it has nothing to do with their midweek game. They're going to miss a conference game.
Right, and not just a conference game. At that point, the rubber match for the weekend. And it came down to one run, and State wins it. And that's a huge boost for State, and that's a huge dip against Georgia. So it makes you wonder. It's like that's a potential decision for a weekend that was decided by an umpire.
Really, it really was. Yeah. You know, we talk about them making bad calls here and there at the end of the games, and what's the saying? Don't put yourself in a situation where one call from an ump or a ref can dictate the game. But man, I mean, this truly did dictate a game. I mean, I know that they still had to go out and play the game, and I get that, but it's just absolutely ridiculous. What a perfect example of how bad the officiating is in what's supposed to be the best conference again.
Yeah, so you got to hope that the guys can turn that around, fix it. You pray. I mean,
there's no turnaround because there's no accountability. I think that's the biggest problem is there's no accountability from these refs. And I'm not saying they need to have a post-game conference or press conference where they have to answer for every ball and strike. That would be ridiculous. But the league office is not taking accountability and reviewing these players and truly grade, or not players, the umps, and grading them. They're not grading the umps. And if they are, they don't know how to grade, or they don't know how to enforce anything.
Well, if you look at, you know, when we talk post-game stuff, especially with our, you know, any other team, you know, if one player makes, you know, screws up that play, he's going to have a microphone in his face and people are going to be asking about what happened. You don't see that with umpires at any level. As far as a lot of people are concerned, they're borderline untouchable at times. It's like, oh, don't question what the officials have to say. Like, well, they're human just like the rest of us. They're still going to make issues. They're still going to have mistakes. That's just the reality of life. And there was a great example of this in the MLB the other day. You know, we had a guy, I think it was in the Reds game. He whiffed on a strike call that was right down the freaking middle. And obviously the pitcher was a little irritated. But they get the guy out on the next play, you know, a little grounder to first, get him out. And when the umpire comes back out to the mound, he said, "Hey, that last call, that was my bad." And the pitcher was like, "No problem. You're good." See, when there's accountability like that, I can live with that. But when you allow egos to come into the end of the argument, and all of a sudden, you know, when it comes to especially balls and strikes, you know, when, you know, obviously you can't question that at all. And yet, you know, I saw, I guess, a recent example. I'm not sure what league it was in, but there was a strike. You know, there was a ball thrown, and they initially called it a strike. And the batter looks back, does this number. They do a check, call it a ball, and he's able to go to first base.
Yeah. I don't like reviewing balls and strikes. I think if you're going to get into that, then just do the automated strike zone.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know if anybody saw the pitch that Angel Hernandez called a ball this past weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like belt high, literally split the plate right down the middle, and he called it a ball.
Yeah.
Now, his issue is also ego, and he's got enough ego for the entire league.
Yeah.
But it just – yeah, I know there's a human element. I know that baseball purists – I love baseball, and I played at a very young age. So I've been paying attention to baseball for 35-plus years, and I get it. But the human element, it's fun, and it's a beauty of the game, but there's too much tied up in this stuff these days.
There is.
So either hold them more accountable, train them more intently, or start introducing more electronics. Because reviewing doesn't work for me either, because reviewing slows up the game. And I think what baseball has done, both at professional and college level, you know, instituting pitch clocks, instituting, you know, as many things as they can in an effort to speed this up, reviews slow it back down.
They do.
And I know that they have time limits, but like, you can't go back and review every single thing. So there's got to be some sort of give and take and automation. If we can take away Angel Hernandez's of the world calling balls and strikes, I'm all for it. I bet you every baseball fan would be, because no baseball fan, purist or otherwise, can sit there and tell me, when you look at the grade sheets from I'm picking on him, and that's fine, because he's garbage. Angel Hernandez, who umpires at the major league level, which means he's got to be one of the best umpires in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he should be.
Yep.
And he's garbage, and he's consistently proven to be garbage. And when he gets called out for being garbage, then it's the Angel Hernandez show on top of it. So not only was he wrong, now he's a jerk.
Well, and he will never, ever get cut because of the unions. Like, so they protect their own. And in order for you to even end up at that level, I went and did some research on this. In order for them to get new umpires, I mean, it is harder to become a major league umpire than it is to become a major league baseball player at times. It's ridiculous. I mean, just because the barrier to entry, the amount of money that you personally have to funnel into this thing in order to even get considered for something at the minor league. And it's harder to get up to from double A to triple or single to double than it is for a lot of those players to do the same with their performance, which is just insane to me. I feel like that should be universal at all levels. I want lower level, great umpires to advance through the system just as quickly and end up at the major league, especially if they can call balls and strikes.
Well, I think probably one of the biggest things as far as becoming a major league umpire is that you have to, you know, I would guess that their farm system goes directly through the SEC. So as long as you can screw it up for enough years in the SEC, then you should funnel directly to the Major League Baseball. They're not the same quality. Now, I will say It is impressive when you see this, like, when you see the score sheets of umpires in the major leagues. Like, the overall majority are really good.
They are.
And I think that's where you see in college is they're just not quite as consistent. You know, they're just, and that's why they're in college. And I get that. And I wish, and again, you know, we're probably picking on only a handful of the umps, you know, in college or at least in conference. But it just, as a member of the SEC, it just gets frustrating when it's every sport. Like,
right,
football officiating isn't great. Our basketball officiating isn't great. Our umpiring is kind of doo-doo. Like, it just gets to be a beatdown. And it's not like we go and play with other officials and we have a problem. It's just depressing. Like, it's hard to watch when they get it wrong.
Right.
But that's enough bitching about umpires. I do want to, before we move off baseball, talk about, you know, Kramer Shete had a week for softball.
Sure.
You had a week for baseball.
No doubt.
Hayden Schott.
Yep.
On the week, he batted .444 with 11 ribbies.
Yeah, he definitely looked a lot better. And I'm really glad to see that he was putting him in the gap. He was really, honestly, just good positional hitting. In addition to launching him, he looked like, it seems like at any point in this lineup, if somebody's slowing down or somebody's just not quite picking it up, somebody else comes along and fixes it. I mean, it's like at no point are we having a truly down lineup across the board. Somebody somewhere is picking up the slack.
Well, I think we even mentioned him last week. He's one of the guys that we'd love to see get back going. And
and
only two of those 11 ribbies were in the midweek game. So nine of those were in a conference series. And he, and I'll say another one that I noticed, Teddy Burton.
Yes.
Hitting the ball where the defense gives you a place to hit it. I thought he did a great job of that this weekend. And again, like, they're so much fun to watch at the plate. They really are. You know, Brady Montgomery goes out and by his standards doesn't have a great weekend.
Right.
But then Hayden Schott steps up, you know.
Yep.
You know, Jackson Appel is always there at the plate and he's always battling hard.
Ali Camarillo looked great at times for sure as well. I mean, that's just the beauty of this lineup, like across the entire length. You can't look at like the 8-hole or the 9-hole guy and be like, all right, cool, we're off today with this guy. No, any of them can pick it up. And, you know, you sleep for too long on a Braden Montgomery and he's going to launch that baseball on you. I mean, at the end of the day, somebody somewhere is raking and they're going to do it well.
Well, averages are averages. For just that, you know, Brady Montgomery, whatever you call it, like a micro slump, really is what it is. And it really wasn't a slump. Again, he just probably didn't have, I mean, I'm sure he's pouring through tape and trying to analyze everything and trying to get right.
Right.
But it was so great. And oh yeah, Ollie was another good one. It was great to see him swinging the bat well this weekend.
Right.
So again, this lineup is so much fun. Ryan Prager's a dog. He's just a dog. And you know, and that's so big, especially when you're on the road, is picking up the Friday night win.
Critical.
You got two shots to win the series, you know.
And you took care of it on the first one, which is always a plus. You know, go in for a stress-free day on Sunday. And then you turn around and now you got yourself a top 10 matchup at home against Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt just coming off of the road, splitting the series with a hapless LSU team right now, who's falling out of the rankings finally. And now you find yourself with number 6 Vanderbilt at home, who did take down that LSU team in a run rule fashion in the rubber game. So team's feeling good. I'm sure Vanderbilt's feeling pretty good coming in over to Olson. But at the same time, top 10 matchup and a team that we've done very well with since joining the SEC, especially at home.
Yeah, it's surprising just because knowing where Vandy has been over the last, you know, 10 years.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating that Vandy doesn't have our number by any means. I don't know that we have Vandy's number, but
it's a good competitive series every time we play.
It is. Yeah. And I'll say it a million times, I'm thrilled that this is at Olson.
Yeah, and not to mention, like, some of my all-time favorite baseball moments that we've had in the last several years have come against Vanderbilt, not the least of which being Kyle Simon's no-hitter. You know, when he pulled that off against a highly ranked Vanderbilt team at home, I mean, that was so cool. So excited for that Vanderbilt matchup for sure. And, you know, that's going to be a really good opportunity, you know, with A&M at home for us to, you know, elevate our position a little better. And you know, we're dealing with the number 2 team in the East. with this game. And it's crazy to say that because number one is freaking Kentucky. They're cruising.
Yeah. Well, there's always one feel-good story, right?
No, I say they're number two. They're probably number three because, let's face it, Tennessee's ranking, I think, number four. But in reality, I mean, yeah, the entire SEC, minus really LSU, which just goes back to this whole championship curse thing that people seem to think is a thing. But I'm not arguing against the data because we've seen it happen with Mississippi State. We've seen it happen with Ole Miss. And now we're watching it on full display with LSU.
Yeah, again, like some of these curses, you're like the Sports Illustrated, you know, all this other stuff. I mean,
I'm no scientist, but I can recognize trends.
Yeah, honestly. I don't know, man. But you feel like LSU being the program, they're either going to turn it around.
I mean, they'll definitely find their footing, no question about it. I just don't know if it'll really happen this year. They've got a few more series to really kind of shore some things up, not to mention they still have to play us at the beginning of May, and a lot can change in a month. So LSU could really kind of find their feet before we get to that matchup, and it could be a fun one for sure. If we played LSU right now, I don't feel real good about their chances. But, I mean, A&M to close out this year, I mean, you've got number six Vanderbilt coming in. You have number 25 Alabama that we have got to go to on the road. I mean, you're going to be hosting U of H, who's always been a scrappy team. And then you got Georgia, who can absolutely put up offense. LSU, who's obviously a traditionally good program. Ole Miss the same way. Arkansas, number one team in the freaking country right now. So it never stops.
How much fun is that series shaping up to be at the end of the season? And I know there's a lot of baseball between now and then.
There's a lot of baseball, but at the same time, Arkansas hasn't really shown any signs of stopping, and frankly, neither have we. We've been rolling along doing our job. Outside of that first Florida series, you know, and even this next week after losing that series, I mean, yeah, we fell behind Florida for a weekend in the rankings, but immediately moved up four spots ahead of them because they could not find a way to win midweek games. And now they've lost three straight series. So it becomes a situation of, hey, A&M's been trending the right direction since then, and Florida has not. So just keep rolling and doing what you do.
Yeah, I mean, you just hope that the Florida's, you know, it's starting to look like a bad loss, but there's nothing you can do about it.
No, you can't control what teams do after they play you.
But if, you know, if you just, again, like you said, just keep taking care of business and winning series. You know, we're not, would you, I mean, I probably say this every week, you'd love to sweep every series you play, but this is the SEC and that's completely unrealistic.
It is. So go out there and win the series that have been put on your table, you know, so just go win those games. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Yeah, plenty of good baseball and softball coming up. So we're really pumped for all those matchups. Should be a ton of fun. What else did you have going on this week, man?
We got to talk Calipari to Arkansas.
Yeah, I did see that news drop this morning. Five-year deal.
I was kind of fascinated that Musselman left to USC, but I also don't know the inner workings of the Arkansas program. And I know I'd heard rumors that they were kind of getting sick of him. But he, you know, so he goes out to USC. But and we all know Kentucky fans were getting sick of Calipari.
Right.
You know, if you don't win a championship once every 2 or 3 years, Kentucky fans get sick of you.
They do.
Yeah, they are a big blue nation on the basketball side is big time. What have you done for me lately? And so looks like he's getting, I think I saw 8 mil, something like that. Yeah. But yeah, some donor from Arkansas basically just stepped up and said, we're getting Calipari and I'm also going to give you this much in NIL. Mm-hmm. And my question is, with NIL, and Arkansas hasn't been bad at basketball, you know, so he's not stepping into I got to strip it down to the studs and start over as a program.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, like, is that NIL going to guarantee him any better recruits than he got at Kentucky? It's Coach Cal at Kentucky. He had some of the top talent in the land year in and year out. So what's $6 million in NIL in Fayetteville, Arkansas going to do that he didn't already do in Kentucky?
Yeah, that is something that really kind of set me as odd because right now we are in a brand new era of college sports at the moment. And a lot of people are still trying to adjust to how you attack this new world that we are in. You know, back in the day, it would be a case of, yeah, no, you leave a program, go to a new program, because it's a chance for me to kind of maybe refresh, reset my brain, put myself in a new situation, and give you new life as a coach. You see it all the time. So many coaches that you think are washed end up at a new program and find new life. They may not go out and win titles or anything, but they're definitely going to do a good job where they're at. With the modern day of our sports and the things we're dealing with now, that's not really much of the question anymore.
Well, what I don't get is just, again, what is he going to accomplish at Arkansas with NIL that he couldn't accomplish at Kentucky? Because Kentucky recruits, first of all, Kentucky recruits itself.
Absolutely,
and I'm sure Kentucky had plenty of NIL for when they needed it. So what is he going to accomplish at Arkansas that he, didn't accomplish in Kentucky? It's clear that Kentucky got sick of him because he wasn't adapting to the new world of the sport. Like, is he just going to go to Fayetteville and have a rebirth? If he does, then obviously he'll be really successful, right? He's got NIL. Arkansas isn't at the bottom of the barrel. So, he's working with, support. But right now their roster is like two people currently on the roster and two inbound recruits. And that's literally all they have if you subtract everybody in the transfer portal or graduation. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't hit the ground running this morning, pretty much, it's going to be tough for him to pull stuff together without tampering. Now, again, I think tampering occurs more in basketball than it does in any of the other sports.
Sure.
Just because I think basketball recruiting for the longest of time has been just, I think it's just been dirtier because I think, and this is my opinion, I might get a whole bunch of pushback on this, but I think AAU really screwed up a lot of how the recruiting works and how really the basketball hierarchy works. I think maybe AAU started with all the best intentions, but it's turned into a bit of an albatross, on recruiting, and it's shown, it's shown itself on multiple situations, kind of the relationships that get forged between some of the people that run AAU stuff and these programs. And there's obviously been backlash from the NCAA, and dealing with the sponsors. And so I don't know what Coach Cal is going to do at Arkansas that that'll make Arkansas better because obviously he'll be, it'll be an improvement for Arkansas. But does he really think that he's going to go to Fayetteville and win a national championship? It's been done in my lifetime, back when they had the 40 minutes of hell and Nolan Richardson as coach. And I get that, but is Cal going to be able to continue to change enough to coach and recruit correctly, because the days of the one and done are gone. You're seeing a lot more players stay longer because there's NIL opportunities. There's transfer opportunities. So you can stay in the college game a lot longer. So, this isn't where you could just go out and pick the best four or five high school players, go on a run, and then just do it all again the next year. You're starting to see the teams with a little bit more seniority go further in the tournament.
Yeah. So, Kentucky always fed on, that really incredible talent out of high school that could be potentially NBA talent not very long afterwards, and would utilize those players for a year, maybe two. And that just doesn't fly in the modern game. It's shown. It has absolutely shown in the tournament.
Well, and NIL has showcased that. I think we're at a level right now in the NBA where the talent level is so high that you probably do need a little bit more development. So it's
–
the question is starting to become, do I stay with my program? Do I kind of gut it out and stay here? Or do I transfer? Or do I go to the G League?
Mm-hmm.
Or I go play overseas? And, there's some of these NIL opportunities are going to make it hard for kids to want to go to the G League and really, really have to grind.
Mm-hmm.
Or go play in Europe and really, really have to grind and possibly just stay in Europe your whole career. You see a lot of that. These kids go out.
Yep.
They get drafted to play overseas, so they go over there, and then they just end up having a career over there, which is great. And if you make a career playing the sport you love, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
But I think anybody would admit that the ultimate goal is to play in the NBA.
Wait, no doubt. Because that's where you're going to make the most money. That's where you're going to get the most exposure. That's where the focus is. It's true of all the major sports here in the States. Really, the only major global sport that doesn't have the top level league in this country is the MLS. Let's face it, right now that's Premier League over there in the UK. So, outside of that, we pretty much dominate all the professional leagues for all these sports. So lean in on them. Make them fun. Have a good time.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting experiment to watch from afar. to be honest. Well, not that far. You know, we're in the same conference. You know, regionally they're going to be a little bit closer, and so even though it's Coach Cal, you know, I think there's enough chinks in his armor to where recruiting against him isn't what it was like 5-6 years ago,
right?
And I think the question will be like, do you think you can do the same thing at Arkansas as you did at Kentucky? Do you really think you can do that?
And I guess we'll see.
So I think you've got, you know, the ability to recruit against them a little bit better. I'm curious who Kentucky's going to pick up. I think, I mean, it's Kentucky, so you kind of have the pick of the litter to an extent. I feel like they'll go after Nate Oates at Bama.
Sure.
Outside of that, I don't know. I think I saw something about Bobby Hurley.
Okay.
But you'd have to pay out the nose. And again, Kentucky's willing to pay out the nose for basketball, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you do not invest the amount of money that you put into that program. You haven't invested for that arena, which, I mean, let's face it, that's a professional basketball arena. I mean, that's top level stuff. And I mean, it's great what they've been able to accomplish as a program. There's no question. So as they roll forward, I mean, they're going to go out and get whoever they need to get them to that next level. And hopefully for them, they can accomplish that. But you know,
hopefully for them, I hope they hire a dud. But
yeah, personally, yeah, no question. Obviously, they want that home run hire. We can keep. I don't submit to the logic that people have put out in the past across the board. Like, it's good when certain teams are big in sports. I don't agree to that. I hate that statement because basically it's saying reinforce the old guard. And you know, you look at, you know, the blue bloods, right? And we've talked about blue bloods in the past on this podcast, but especially for basketball, blue bloods are literally blue. It's Kentucky, it's Kansas, it's Duke, it's North Carolina. You go down the list past those four, and there's plenty of great teams, but everybody knows those are the four names. Those are the four teams. Those are the four horsemen of basketball, and they're all blue, and they're all blue bloods, no question. Yeah. So if you're a Kentucky program and you want to get to that level, yeah, go hire that guy. But I love the fact that those four teams are not necessarily competing for a title all the time. I'm way okay with that. I like seeing, you know, as a personal, I love seeing that one team sneak through the tournament and cruise along and get to a level. Yeah, are they going to enhance their viewership as a program by making it all the way to a title? Not necessarily. We saw that happen with, you know, Texas Tech. Texas Tech makes it all the way to the championship game, and they've subsequently fallen off the freaking mountain at times. So it's not a guarantee that you're going to elevate yourself as a program, but it's special for that team. It's special for that school. And I would love to see any team at any level, you know, especially with playoffs getting ready to roll, you know, and expand for football. You know, I want to see more of that take place as time goes on.
Yeah. College basketball is better when Kentucky's good. I Boo. Hate that statement in every sport.
Boo. Yeah. It's the same thing.
I think the other thing to look at, though, is if he does stay in conference, like if Kentucky does stay in conference and they hire like a Nate Oates, like it's going to be a lot of dominoes falling all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. And that's the way it typically goes because, you know, one gets poached, somebody else has to get poached, somebody else has to get poached. Mm-hmm. And eventually you're going to be sitting around where somebody somewhere is getting a raw end of the deal. That's just the fact of the matter.
Somebody's not going to have a chair when the music stops.
Yep. Yeah. That's the beauty of musical chairs. But, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens on that front as we get back into basketball. Granted, that'll be a ways from here.
That is a ways
plenty,
away.
Plenty to happen between now and when basketball kicks back up again.
Only thing in basketball that I'm concerned about is right now working with the transfer portal.
Yep, and that's what you got to worry about. Hope that Buzz Williams can continue to
just work the portal, okay. Man. Just yep. Work the portal and bring in what we need. We all know what we need.
Yep, everybody does. Anybody who's been paying attention knows.
Yeah.
But, as far as other fun things going on this week, so we are rolling out this Saturday to Green Hall. It is already capacity of the building, for those who aren't aware, is 800 people. As of this past Thursday, we have sold over 500 tickets already, and the crazy thing is we were still over a week out when we got those numbers. When we sold it out last time, it was 400 pre-sales day of.
Nice.
So, it won't sell out ahead of I almost guarantee what's probably going to happen is they will hold off a few tickets for walk-ups because it's a weekend, it's a Saturday. But
Right.
you know, that's maybe 100 to 150 tickets. It's going to sell out. We're pumped. We're so excited for that. It's going to be a great show. Logan Ryan Band, who's a good local opener, they're going to be kicking it off. I'm excited for them to be joining us for that show. But yeah, that's great. And the world is still doing really well. Got picked up by a few people on TikTok, so I'm always about that. But yeah, I mean, things are going pretty well on that front. We've got a few other things to kind of sort through as time goes, but the big one for us this week, and this is relevant for anybody in the region. I mentioned it. So good weather chances today. The big day for us down here in BCS is tomorrow. So if you look at what's getting ready to take place, we are currently in a day two. So one day out, we're a day two enhanced risk, which is a 3 out of 5 on the issue scale, basically, you know, where they're worried about outlooks. And currently sitting in what is a 30% hatched risk for hail. We are currently in a 15% risk for heavy wind, 5% risk for tornadoes. But hail being the big issue tomorrow. And so they're thinking, like I said, with a 30% hatched risk, that basically what all I'm saying with that is anywhere between 30 and 44% chance of hail taking place within 25 miles of a point. So, and with that, with it being hatched, that's a greater than 2-inch diameter hail, so big hail. So, at this point, just something to keep in mind for tomorrow. Watch your cars. I'm not saying there's gonna be tornadoes. I'm not saying there's gonna be hail, but just keep an eye out for it. It's a very real possibility tomorrow.
Well, and that's your Red Ass Podcast weather report. Thank you, Ollie.
Yeah, exactly. We're having space weather. Not this week.
You want this dog?
Yeah. Meanwhile, our friends over in Louisiana and Mississippi on the southern side, they're at a day three enhanced risk. That's definitely going to pick up over the next few days. So keep an eye out. Like I said, it's just there's this little goofy weather system that's going to be sitting on us for the next few days. Just hunker in. It's going to be wet. Just get ready for that. But we're going to survive. It'll be okay. If you are trying to watch the eclipse today, my apologies. It is quite overcast, and no matter where you go in this state, you're probably not going to see it at optimum viewing. But regardless,
It's gonna
due
get
to
better.
it, well, and regardless, thanks to a handful of conspiracy theories and other things floating around, let's just say I'm going to go walk out on my porch with a cigar and a whiskey and sit and watch this thing because if certain events do take place after this particular eclipse, I'd rather be in a comfortable position when it happens.
I've got work to do.
I know. Well, I got work after that. I have work at like 3:30, but I've got time before then to just relax here and do my thing.
Yeah, I don't have time for your eclipse. I got work to do.
Yeah,
But, all right, man. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed it. We are just absolutely in the thick of it now with baseball and softball, and two really great series to look forward to this weekend. Again, you know, softball is going to be televised. You don't even need SEC Plus. You don't need ESPN app to watch it. So they're going to be on ESPN2 Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday evening. And grab your TV trays and eat dinner in front of the TV and watch them on the SEC Network. Big series, top 15, should be a top 15 matchup in Tuscaloosa, and then a big series here at Olson. So hopefully by the weekend the weather will have subsided and we can go out and pack Olson for those boys in a top 10 matchup, which I mean is borderline top 5 matchup.
It is.
One of the rankings came out this morning. We stayed at number 3, and so that should tell you how. What it means to win a series on the road.
Yep.
You know,
Yep. It, yeah. Even
we
losing one game on that, you maintain, which is exactly what you want to see out of the rankings.
3-1 week. So
Keep it up. Rock and roll. Do what we do. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of Vanderbilt. Beat the hell out of Alabama. Beat the hell out of the weather. Gig 'em.
them.
Next two records, and me personally, I like both records. I like the songs on them. It was a departure for what they were doing. But notice how, you know, everybody was so hype on them. 10 years ago. And then those two records came out and they're really not talked about much anymore.
Yeah, that's a really good example because I don't listen to them anymore.
All right. And I love that band. And I will still actively go listen to what they have. But you can't allow yourself to get in that situation.
Yeah, I'll go back and listen to the first two albums. I won't listen to the other stuff. And not that I'm against indie rock. I just don't like them doing it. I don't like
right. Like I said, Mumford and Sons. I mean, Little Lion Man, The Cave, I Will Wait. That's the stuff that people like from them. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why they still play those songs live. They will still break out their original setup and do those songs live because they understand that's what people are there for.
Yeah, it's kind of dance with the date that brought you kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Novel thoughts, right? You always, hey, it doesn't matter if you go to do a little window shopping as long as you're actually buying what you came there to buy a lot of the time. But we're excited for the songs for sure. I'm pumped.
Well, we got to wrap this up because I am a busy bee. But I hope everybody had a great Easter, by the way. Yes. I forgot to say that at the beginning. I had a wonderful Easter weekend. It was kind of a weird combination of being really busy with work and then being able to take time off. I'm kind of grateful for I'm always grateful for having the business. And then I'm also grateful for being able to tell my clients I'm not working.
Yes.
But so just super busy with work right now. I'm excited. I'm expanding my business. I'm literally going directly from here to an appointment. I had two yesterday. I had eight showings on Saturday. I mean, So I'm rocking and rolling. It's just getting to the time of year where people start thinking about moving. So, So, you know, like always, if you're going to be in the greater Brevis Valley, if you're buying or selling or just want to talk, you know, feel free to shoot me a message on social media, or you can email me at just roy@bachrealtygroup.com. Bach like the beer. Yep. But just blessed to be busy, man. So yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton of fun and, you know, in my personal life going on. I'm kind of a boring person because I work so much, I guess, but You know, things are going well and the weather's beautiful and
It's
hard to beat, man. Beautiful day in Aggieland yet again.
Yep. I'm definitely excited about that. If you guys are looking for additional, anybody looking to do some vocal training or honestly bass playing, that is something I am doing once again at musiclessonsoneonone.com. If you go to that website, you can actually go to the staff, go straight to my portal. It'll say Rob W on it and you can book with me and I will be happy to work with anybody on that. So that's exciting. One last little quick note, weather wise today, something very interesting is happening up in Ohio. So we're having ourselves a moderate risk, strong 15-30% chance for tornadoes within 25 miles of a point up there. And here's the crazy part. This particular storm system looks exactly like the storm system that rolled through on April 3rd, 1974, almost 50 years ago to the day, minus one, where we had the super outbreak. 7 F5 tornadoes that destroyed multiple towns across Ohio, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama. I mean, just all over the place. And truly one of the craziest weather setups we've ever seen in our lives. And the fact that we're going to have a very similar system today in Ohio, borderline poetic. But the whole region is under that watch. So, and it won't be, it's not going to be a super outbreak. It's nothing crazy, but it's just kind of a weird coincidence that kind of shook out. So.
And there's your weekly weather nerd note.
Here's your weekly weather word note. All right. So I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you so much. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Beat the hell out of everybody. Yeah.